Today's reading is from Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. To the church in Thyatira, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service, and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality, and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you that you love your church. And because of your great love for us, we pray that we would now experience the power of your word as you speak to us. By your living word, would you make us more and more into the church you would have us be. For Jesus' sake, amen. Generally speaking, in the West, tolerance is the highest virtue. It's the greatest sign of social health. If you're intolerant, that's a sign that something's wrong with you. But that's not always the right way of viewing things, is it? Imagine a healthy family with a burglar in the house, a thief. If that family is a healthy family, they're not going to tolerate the burglar staying there. They're going to kick him out. A healthy state will not tolerate murderous terrorists. They'll do something about them. A healthy body will not tolerate an infection. It'll do something about it. In all these cases, intolerance is a sign of health, whereas tolerance would be a sign that something was wrong. Healthy family, healthy state, healthy body. When will a healthy church not tolerate something or someone? That's the question we're going to be thinking about tonight. In this letter to Thyatira, it's the smallest of the seven cities, the seven churches that Jesus writes to. Interestingly, though, it gets the longest letter. Smallest church gets the most attention. That sounds like Jesus' way of doing things. And Jesus knows this small church very well. If you look at verse 19, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. So here's a church growing in patient holiness, persevering in evangelism, a church fully known by Jesus, a church, however, rather embarrassingly, that has somewhat forgotten who Jesus is. Verse 18, the words of the Son of God. You'd think they already knew that, but evidently they need reminding. We all suffer from spiritual forgetfulness. We have the unhelpful tendency to shrink the real living Son of God, Jesus, down to a Playmobil-sized prophet. We shrink his gospel down to the size and the power of a fortune cookie. And so this church needs reminding that Jesus is God's Son, eternal, majestic, powerful, worthy of worldwide worship. And even in those words, the Son of God, the first readers would have seen a reference here to Daniel 3. If you remember, or if you've ever read Daniel, you'll know in chapter 3, a hostile state throws Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the lion's den for them to be eaten by lions. And one, like a son of God, preserves them, saves them. They get out of the lion's den okay. Jesus wants his church to know, this church in Thyatira to know, that just as he saved his people in the past, he is powerful to save today. They were in danger of forgetting. Well, what's Jesus' message for this little church? It's very simple, so we're going to have a very simple PowerPoint. Here's very simple PowerPoint heading number one. Put out the false teacher. Put out the false teacher. Look at verse 20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing, for few of them, my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. So what would you have seen if you had visited the church at Thyatira? You would have seen some lady claiming special authority and insight through the Holy Spirit into God's will. Listen to me, I can tell you what Jesus really wants for you. Probably her name wasn't Jezebel. Jesus seems to be calling her Jezebel as a nickname, exposing her, as it were. Exposing her to the church and saying, this woman who calls herself a prophetess, whom many respect, whom many are listening to, she's just like Jezebel in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 16:31. Jezebel encourages King Ahab and the people of Israel to compromise on faith in God, to commit spiritual adultery by worshipping God and worshipping Baal, a pagan god, at the same time. And Jesus says this lady in this church is having the same effect. Online and offline, she's speaking, and Christians are listening. Many seem to have liked her teaching. She's been in the church for a while, and you can imagine people talking about her over coffee and saying, oh yeah, have you heard what she says about that? So helpful. I'd never seen things that way before. Oh, that's so refreshing. And this lady didn't have horns on her head. There was no flashing neon sign above her saying, warning, warning, heretic, heretic, stay away. No, she looked like a normal person, probably smiled a lot. What she said sounded biblical. And what she said sounded very appealing. Look at how Jesus describes her again in verse 20. She is seducing my servants. People were thirsty for her teaching. They wanted what she had to say. They were drinking poisoned water. The surface issue seems relatively clear. It's sexual immorality and idolatry, just like in Pergamon. In the city of Thyatira, business life was tied up in belonging to a guild, like a workers' union, a workers' Verein, you would say, maybe in German. And if you didn't belong to the guild, to the club, your business would suffer, your clients would go elsewhere, your boss might fire you, it would be harder to make money to provide for your family. But the problem was, if you belonged to one of these guilds, there would be regular meetings that would involve sacrifices to idols. And the great big nosh up together, a great big meal, which would then often end in sexual immorality. Think high-powered business dinners on the company credit card, very boozy, heading to a strip bar afterwards. It's that type of thing. And fundamentally, this woman was teaching that you can honour Jesus. It's so okay. You can honour Jesus and go to those guild meetings and be part of that. As long as you love Jesus, it doesn't really matter what you do. What you do with your body doesn't influence your worship. Monday to Saturday has got nothing to do with Sunday. It's okay. Jesus is Lord. Don't stress. Go along. seductive lies, spiritual poison. And notice that this poison doesn't come from the world. Jesus isn't writing saying, watch out for the influence the world has on you. He's saying, watch out for the influence this lady in the church has. False teachers don't usually come from outside in. They grow up inside a church. When Paul says goodbye to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28 he says, watch out, after my departure, ferocious wolves will rise up, not from outside, but from among you. False teachers often start off sound and orthodox. They went to the right Bible college, they are published by the right publishers, they're hanging out with the right people. But over time, they start drifting. They start distancing themselves from the gospel. And Jesus says, this I have against you, tolerate that woman Jezebel. Sometimes it can seem like the danger of false teachers is somehow exaggerated too much. It's just all a bit over the top. Surely the danger from persecution is worse. But what a false teacher can do to a church family is far worse than what the state could ever do. Worst the state can do to a church is shut its doors, kill its members. And then we all get to go and be with Jesus. The worst a false teacher can do is lead people away from the truth into lies so that they go to hell. Jesus says, watch out. And graciously, Jesus has given this false teacher, Jezebel, time to change. Look at verse 21. I gave her time to change, but she refused to repent. She's been warned, graciously, undeservedly, she's been warned, but she refuses to change. And therefore, Jesus will not tolerate her. He will judge her. He will judge her because he loves his church. This is the church that he died for, that he left heaven for, became man, lived and died for, rose again for. He loves his people. He will not tolerate anyone harming his church, who is so precious in his eyes. Therefore, verse 22, behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed. And those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead. This is not the temper tantrum of an insecure tyrant, a Kim Jong-un shooting his servants randomly. This is the calm, controlled, measured anger of the Son of God who loves his church. Note here in verse 22, Jesus' judgment is impartial. All who have followed this woman's teaching will receive it. I think it's one group of people described in three ways. It's my servants, those who commit adultery, her children. I think those are all one group of people. So Jesus' judgment is impartial. Jesus' judgment is just. For the lady who seduces people in sexual immorality, it's a sick bed that she gets. Judgment is terrible. I will throw into great tribulation. I will strike dead. And Jesus' judgment is personally administered. I will throw, I will strike. Yet do you see too that Jesus' judgment is not unavoidable? It's not unavoidable. Unless they repent of their works. Even now, as Jesus looks at his people and is angry at those who are harming them, even with his wrath roused, he is willing to forgive. He'll forgive any crime of anyone who will turn to him. At this point, let me just pause and say, if you don't yet know the Lord Jesus, it is so great that you are here with us this evening. You're so very welcome. At the back by the door, there are Gospels, little accounts of Jesus that you are most welcome to take with you. A chance for you to find out for yourself who Jesus is. One of the reasons you can know that you're dealing with a real God as you investigate Jesus is that he will say things that you do not like. So you know he isn't a product of anyone's imagination. Well, the real Jesus says that all who do not trust him for forgiveness are under his wrath. And therefore he calls all to turn to leave their way of doing life and trust him. That is his message for you this evening if you don't yet know Christ. So here we see a Jesus who does not tolerate sin. And he doesn't want his church to tolerate unrepentant sin either. And notice that there's only one thing Jesus wants his church to be intolerant of. He doesn't say, listen, it's okay, you can fight about music, that is perfectly fine. Guitar or organ, go for it, get in the boxing ring. He doesn't say you can fight about a difference of opinion on when people should get baptized. Get in the boxing ring, fight it out. The only thing Jesus wants his church to be intolerant of, unrepentant sin in the church. This I have against you, you tolerate that woman. And therefore, what is the course of action Jesus wants this church to take? They're to put the church, they're to put the false teacher out. Before we get to what they do, let's just pause and think together why Jezebel's teaching was so believable, so attractive. Why is such a thing so dangerous? I think ultimately many in the church fell for her teaching because they believed two lies about Jesus. Lie number one, deep down, Jesus doesn't understand me. Lie number two, ultimately following Jesus isn't worth it. If you think Jesus doesn't know you, doesn't understand you, if you think following him isn't worth it, sooner or later you'll fall for Jezebel and you'll compromise. You believe those lies and the world becomes scary and lonely. Christ becomes more and more distant and cold. Christian obedience becomes more and more impossible. And therefore verse 23 is there to wake us all up from any attempt to flirt with that nightmarish lie, those nightmarish lies. Here's the wake up, verse 23. All the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Jesus introduced himself at the beginning of the letter as the one whose eyes blaze like fire. From him no secrets are hidden, no desires unknown. He knows this church. He knows you. And this all-seeing Jesus promises that you will reap ultimately what you sow. You play with fire, you'll be burnt. You play with sin, it won't end well. Tonight, I guess there are probably two groups of people here. If you're in the group of people who are harbouring a secret sin, don't worry about whether people will find out. Don't worry, not worth your time worrying about that. Worry about this. Jesus already knows. I will give to each of you according to your works. If you don't repent, he will discipline you. To those of us in the second group, verse 23 should be the deepest comfort. If you're fighting sin, if you're trying to resist temptation, here is hope. You don't need to compromise. You don't need to compromise on Christ to look after yourself. Jesus knows you. He sees right into you. He cares for you. Your faithfulness is not in vain. He will provide for you what you need to glorify him until he calls you home. He's the Son of God who saved in the past. He's the Son of God who'll save in the future. So that all the churches in Asia learn this, verse 23, Jesus calls for concrete action. Stop tolerating Jezebel. And here's what the church is to do. It's implied here, it's taught in more detail in Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5. The church are to put Jezebel out of fellowship. Because Jezebel has been publicly sinning in the church, she is to be publicly rebuked in the church, most likely by the church elders. She is to be removed from the church membership. She is no longer welcome to come and receive the Lord's Supper. And the church family are no longer to treat her as a Christian believer. It is not that Jesus is saying, stop, love this woman. He is saying to the church, your love to this woman must take a different form. Love this woman now by urging her to repent and believe the gospel like you would love any non-Christian. If you've ever watched cheesy, corny westerns, you might remember a scene where one guy, probably the good guy, looks at the bad guy and just before he pulls his guns to shoot says, "This town ain't big enough for the two of us." No church is big enough for false teacher and Jesus. One has to go. Put out the false teacher. What then? Well, here's our second heading. Apologies that the PowerPoint isn't working. Here's the second heading. Hold fast to the gospel. Put out the false teacher. Hold fast to the gospel. Every church has two basic needs. Number one, put the gospel front and centre, in the limelight, under the spotlight of church life. Put it in the centre. Basic need number two of every church, keep it there. Keep it there. Resist every temptation to swap it for something else. Verse 24. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan. Probably Jezebel was calling her teaching the deep things of God, and Jesus is just exposing it. To you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. That phrase, any other burden, all the commentators agree, refers back to Acts 15. Acts 15. There the apostles write a letter to non-Jewish churches, basically saying, it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden, there's our phrase, than these requirements. Abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. I think Jesus is saying to this church, what do I want you to do? Hold fast to the apostles' teaching. Hold fast to what you already have. No other burden. Just like in Acts 15. Hold fast to what you already have. Hold fast to the gospel that you have received. And what an encouragement for this little church. They've already got what they need. What an encouragement for you and me tonight. If you're believing in the gospel, you've already got what you need for the rest of life, for all eternity. You've got it already. So Christ Church Thyatira don't need to reinvent themselves. They don't need a new vision. They don't need an extra word from the Holy Spirit. They don't need a super exciting new strategy from America. Sorry, Americans. They don't need a hidden secret to victorious Christianity. They don't need seductive teaching leading to moral compromise. What do they need to do? Hold on. To what? Well, to hold on to what you've already got. Hold on to the apostolic gospel, to God's word given through his apostles to his people. And why should they do that? Well, firstly, because Jesus tells them to. But amazingly, in each and every one of these letters, Jesus doesn't just tell his church what he wants from them. He gives them motivations. He doesn't just steer the wheel of the ship, as it were. He puts wind in their sails to move them forward. Jesus says, if you hold on to this gospel, the one the apostles have already given you, that came from me, the smallest Christian, the least impressive church are conquerors in Christ, if you hold on. Look at verse 26. The one who conquers and who keeps my works till the end. It isn't the one who keeps my works till the end and then conquers. Conquering isn't what you and I do when we get to heaven. Phew, done. Woo, I get the crown now. No, no. Conquering is what Christians do right now in this life, as we turn from our sin and turn to Christ. That's what conquering looks like. That's what keeping Jesus' works means in the book of Revelation. This church was tolerating Jezebel because they thought Christian success looks like worldly success. Christian conquering means getting that good job, getting that career, being accepted by my colleagues. But that's not what conquering looks like. How did Jesus conquer death? Well, by dying. Not by climbing a ladder up, but by descending down. And that's how Christians conquer too. Not by compromising on Jesus to climb a worldly ladder, but by staying true to Jesus, even as the world turns against us and pushes us down and shuts us out. Jesus wants this church to know that if they hold on to him, the lower they go, the higher he will raise them. Think of the Nike tick symbol. You all got that little picture in your head? Yeah, a little tick? That is Christian conquering. You go down a little bit to go up a lot. That's Christian conquering. Is that your definition of success? Go down to go up. Because if it isn't, if you've bought into that Western dream of just up, 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 me first, you'll compromise. You'll go to Jezebel and not to Jesus. Well, Jesus says here, hold fast what you have until I come. That is conquering. And he assures this church, the finish line is there. Until I come, you're not headed off into the dark. You're going towards me, the one who has loved you and freed you from your sins. That is who you're going towards. Hold on. And so do you see that holding on to Jesus is worth it? Because when Jesus returns as king, he has all eternity to share all of heaven's riches with all his people. No one's empty-handed then. Out of interest, how many of you have heard of the missionary Jim Elliot? Little show of hands. Okay, if your hand isn't up right now, it's okay, don't worry, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you should go to your favourite online bookseller and get Jim Elliot, Through the Gates of Splendor. It's his biography. Jim Elliot was a missionary who died aged 28, and a few years before his death, he wrote this. He is no fool who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Everything Jezebel sells you has an expiry date. Everything Jesus gives you will last forever. Jesus says, hold on to me. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself has received authority from my Father. Not just hold on to me, but hold on to me because you are going to rule with me. Jesus is quoting from Psalm 2, verses 8 to 9, where God promises to make Jesus king over all the earth. And Jesus says, listen, if you hold on to me, as you conquer right now, what will eternity look like for you? Well, let's start with this. You will be with me as I judge the world. You want power, authority, influence? I forget looking for it here in this life, but there. I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. What of human rebellion on that final day when all Christians are elevated to Jesus' right hand? All human rebellion will be smashed. Think a baseball bat meeting a China cup. And you and I will share with Jesus in his authority. So friends, do please pity the weak kings and the poor wealthy of this world. Have compassion on those who long for the toys of fame and success and money. Their thrones, their influence, their power, everything that is filling their Instagram channel, it's going to be gone. Christian, your throne will last forever, given to you by Jesus himself. What does Jesus say to the church in Thyatira? Beloved, forget Jezebel. Put her out of the church. Hold on to Christ. Hold on to me instead. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do pray that you would show great mercy and loving kindness to us as a church family by keeping us free of false teaching. Pray that you would preserve us and that you would give us great discernment should false teachers ever arise in our fellowship. We pray, Father, above all, that you by your Spirit would help us to keep on holding on to Jesus, knowing that every loss we make now for not compromising on him will pale into insignificance as he looks us in the eyes and calls us to come and rule with him on that great and final day. Help us to conquer as we repent and trust him. In Jesus' name, amen.